This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Verses 30 to 44. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have enough time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. This is God's word. Thank you. Growing up, I celebrated Thanksgiving, but I didn't really focus too much on the meaning of Thanksgiving and the history, if you will, of Thanksgiving. It was just a time we got together and had good food. And that's very true in our culture as it stands. Our culture as a whole has turned Thanksgiving into, you know, having food and football and Friday, the black one, soon to follow, where you can get, you know, the deals on shopping. But Thanksgiving is not about Thanksgiving. It's about Thanksgiving, where we can give thanks to God. But when you look at the history of Thanksgiving, you know the story of the Mayflower. It's familiar to us, but we don't hear it too much, and sometimes if we do hear it, the history is a little bit stilted, or changed, or rewritten. But we know that the story of the Mayflower, where the pilgrims came to escape religious persecution, to come to a land where they could worship God freely. But they went through a very difficult time. On the voyage here, many of them died from sickness. And then when they arrived, they immediately were brought into a winter that was very harsh, and they hadn't had time to get adequate shelter up. And about half of the pilgrims that had come died through that voyage and first winter. But then God did something miraculous. I was reading about, we had a book in the library from Eric Metaxas, who wrote, it's a children's book, but it's a good book for anyone to read, about Squanto. God sent Squanto to those pilgrims to teach them about how to plant corn and different skills that the Native American people had acquired, and he could tell them about, tell the pilgrims about that. And but what surprised the pilgrims is that Squanto knew English, because he had been captured years ago and traveled to America and then was brought back. And he had been introduced to the English God, that is the God of the Bible. And then at the end of that season with Squanto, they had an abundance of harvest. And so they decided to gather together. There were about 90 or so Native Americans, and then the pilgrims, they gathered together and they had a time of food. Ultimately, a time of thanksgiving for the abundance. See, the story of the Mayflower, what you find is that they had a season of scarcity. They had a means of provision. And then they had, with that provision, an abundance. And when I thought of that and meditated on that, it reminded me of another story. One that we read in the scriptures. And if you'd like to follow along, we're in Mark chapter 6. Jesus had been going around telling people about the Father and the Father's love and the kingdom of God. And he had many people gathered to follow him. He healed people. He did these miracles, casting out demons. He had teachings that were astonishing. So people started following him. Well, there came a point in their journey when he was teaching them and they were following him, and the whole day was spent. And throughout that whole day, the crowd had nothing to eat. And it was getting to the end of the day. And I know for myself, if I go through a whole day without eating, I feel it at the end of the day. And so the disciples decided that they're going to send the people off into the towns and villages to get food. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And the disciples are just calculating in their mind, you know, and okay, there are about 5,000 men plus women and children. And how are we going to get all the money? We don't have that much money. How are we going to do this? And we Christians just like to calculate the numbers, don't we? But we never think of who's the one that's with us and can empower us. But they were calculating the numbers. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, bring what you have. And they brought 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Which, in that state of being, if it were me and I had gone the whole day, that would have been good enough for me. But Jesus did something amazing. He took those 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he fed everyone. Everyone. It was a miracle. He multiplied it. He took just, it wasn't like he divvied it up into little fragments. The loaves and the fish were multiplied miraculously by God's hand through Christ, in Christ, multiplied the loaves and the fish, and everybody ate. And at the end, they had 12 baskets left over. Just like the story of the pilgrims, there was a season of scarcity. There was a means of provision, and with the provision was an abundance. Thinking this over, and what does this mean for us today? Here's the big idea. God will allow us to go through a season of scarcity, difficult seasons in our lives. But God will provide for us a means to have a victorious Christian life. He will provide for us. There will be a means of provision. But with that provision that God gives in Christ will be an abundance. And that's going to be the key of this message, the abundance. So the message this morning is the abundance of His provision. First, we see that we have seasons of scarcity. We in our Christian lives will have seasons of scarcity. Look, if you will, in our text in verse 30, let's jump down to 35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place. Already the hour is late. Send them away, that they can get something to eat. They have nothing to eat." But he answered and said, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" They were at a point when there was scarcity. There was very little that they had to work with. Just like the pilgrims, they had a season of scarcity where they had very little in that first winter. Just as these people, they were hungry and they had very little, so we as Christians are going to experience that in our own lives. Just like the pilgrims and these people, in a physical sense, there will be times and seasons when we will go through periods of scarcity. Now, we live in a very abundant part of the world, but you've heard it and I've heard it that there are threatenings of shortages, scarcities. I know I shouldn't use Google, but last week I was searching something, and under the Google tab they had a little link, and that link said how to handle food insecurities or something like that, they called it. And I was curious, I clicked it, and they had all this, you know, information Google wanted to show you and how you can help stop food insecurity. And it makes you wonder where that came from. But the point is that maybe we're in for a season of scarcity. I don't know. I know we're not used to that. I mean, our country has gone through those periods. Everybody knows the Great Depression was a period where there was a season of scarcity. Maybe that period is ahead of us. And praise God that we can prepare. We can do things ahead of time. We can stock up if we need to. Or if you're blessed with a piece of land that you can grow your own food, that's great. But not everybody has that capability. And so we, in our individual Christian lives, can think of, if something like that were to happen, how can we prepare for ourselves, but also how we can bless others who maybe don't have that ability. But even deeper than that season of scarcity in a physical sense is that we as Christians will and often experience a season of scarcity in a spiritual sense, in our souls. Because think of it. You could be the most filled person in your stomach. Just, you got that meal, you're filled. You could have everything that you want to live your American dream. You could be the healthiest person on earth. But you can still be an enemy of God and be scarce in your soul, dead, without life. Or maybe you're a Christian, but everything on the outside seems to be fine. But there's something going on that you can't explain inside your soul. Maybe it was from just a sinful habit that you've been engaged in, and the sinful habit has somehow broken that fellowship with God, and there's a deterioration spiritually. Or maybe it's just God sending a test in your life where you can rely on Him. But we as Christians will go through that season of scarcity. If you turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 42, we read of an individual who knew God, but was going through this difficult soul famished state. In Psalm 42, the psalmist is writing about the hunger of his soul. In verse 1, the Bible says, "As a deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." As a deer pants for the water brooks. You can picture in your mind there's a desert, and there's a creature in that desert who hasn't drank in water and is very, very, very thirsty. And when you get super thirsty, we don't experience this, but when you get super thirsty, your mouth gapes open. It's just a natural response. Your mouth is open, and you're just waiting for that nourishing water to clear your dry throat. And here the psalmist is saying, my soul pants for you. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That being in the presence of God has been separated for whatever reason. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. While they continually say to me, where is your God? There's a disconnection. There's a reason that this psalmist is going through that season of scarcity. And there will be times, as a Christian, you'll be walking with the Lord, and there'll be this hunger that wells up within you. There'll be this season where prayer is not as sweet as it used to be. The Word of God is not as alive as it used to be. And you're in a season of scarcity. And you long for that return to that place with the Lord. And things don't function right. I used to own a Subaru that was very thirsty when it came to oil. I put in about a quart a month. She was very thirsty for oil. And I could always tell when it was time to fill her back up, because things wouldn't be operating normally. The vehicle might shut off randomly on me, or the riding would not be as smooth. There'd be evidence, there'd be signs that things are not right. Oh, we got to add more oil. Well, that's true for us as Christians. We, in a sense, with the Holy Spirit given to us is that oil. The Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit. But sometimes that oil can somehow run out. Not that the Holy Spirit departs from us, but that filling, that power, that unity is disrupted. And so what happens is that our lives, the gears don't function properly. The friction in our hearts is more evident. Things are not operating as they should. And maybe we're going through a season of scarcity. Maybe you are. Maybe I am. We feel like a pilgrim in that winter, just struggling to survive. But we read in our text not just a season of scarcity, but we read the hope of God who gives a means of provision. Back in Mark chapter 6, we read in verse 37 that Christ said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. And they said, we can't. We just don't have the means. And so he ordered them to come, and they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He commanded the people to sit down in green grass because there were sheep without a shepherd. And Christ is the good shepherd. But he had them sit down, and he took those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he divided it. And look there in verse 42. They all ate and were filled. You see, if you and I are going through that season of scarcity, it is God's intention to bring to us at some point a means of provision. God brought the pilgrim Squanto. He was the means of provision. He taught them how to farm. And in our text, God brought a means of provision. He brought our Lord Jesus Christ to provide for the people who were hungry. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 6. And you read more in depth about this picture of how the Lord Jesus wants to provide for you and wants to provide for me. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus is talking about how he is the manna, just as in the Old Testament, God provided the manna from heaven and it came down and it fed the Israelites. And Jesus is saying, I am that bread of life. And he says in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. If God permits that scarcity, it's because he is showing us that there is a means of provision, and that means is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that life to feed our souls, to give us that sense of fulfillment in him. and to give us life in this world and in the world to come. There's an immediate application that Jesus is saying, if you don't know me, you trust in me as your Lord and Savior, I give you life. I give you eternal life. I give you my life because I gave it on the cross when I died. I gave my life for you. You believe in me and you receive my life. And you're guaranteed eternal home in heaven, an eternal home. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus doesn't just mean to give us eternal life in believing in him. He means to give us sustenance as believers, as followers of him, throughout our Christian walk. So that we are consistently and constantly returning to the Lord for that nourishment of soul. To receive from Christ those things that we need in our hearts. He's saying, I am the bread of life. Come to me. He's saying, you need that power to overcome that temptation you're going through. You come to me. Come to me and feed the nourishment I give you, and you will have strength. Just as if you feed on literal bread, you will have strength to accomplish the task that is before you. And if you don't eat that bread for a period of time, it might be okay, but eventually your strength will run out and you won't be able to accomplish it. But if you and I feed on the Lord Jesus Christ by coming to him, trusting in him, relying on him, nourishing our relationship with him in a deep and real sense, God will give us sustenance and life to press on. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Another translation puts it this way, you have been given fullness in Christ. One thing I enjoy about Thanksgiving is that feeling of fullness at the end of the meal. Perhaps a little bit too full, but fullness nonetheless. Imagine having that feeling of fullness in your stomach that you get when you are satisfied, you eat the meal, you're done. Imagine having that sense in your soul, in your heart, because you have fed and feasted on the bread of life. You have been given fullness in Christ, and maybe your stomach is not full. Maybe your life doesn't have everything that you hoped and wished that you would have, but your soul inside can have the fullness of Jesus Christ to give you sustenance and life. God will give us a means of provision. It is the Lord Jesus. We've been given the Holy Spirit, and we've been left on this earth so that we can do his will, but we cannot do his will unless we have his life. We want to take the resources God has given us and expand the kingdom and give the gospel, but we need his life to do it. We need his power inside of us and enabling us and gifting us and moving in our souls rather than relying on our own strengths. We have to, as a body, collectively come together and feast on the Lord for his provision to do his will. And it starts with me. It starts with me. When you eat your meal this Thanksgiving, if you are able to have one, and if you're not, we who are able to have meals can think of those who perhaps maybe we can reach out to and invite over. But if you're able to have that meal and you have that fullness, just think, Lord Jesus, fill me like this in my heart, in my soul. God gave a means of provision, but it doesn't end there. And I think we as Christians stumble at this point. We kind of leave it at that. We have the season of scarcity. Jesus Christ is the provision for us. Okay, that's great, but we forget the abundance. With the provision, point number three, with the provision will be an abundance. In verse 43 of our text, verse 42 says that they all ate, and were filled. But verse 43 says, they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And I always wonder about that. Is there some symbolic number with the 12, maybe with the 12 tribes of Israel? Why the extra? Why the 12 baskets? What's the meaning of this? Maybe somebody was there and was filled, but they didn't have the little bit extra that would have been that abundance that they could. There were 12 left over. And for us, when I think of that, I think, you know, a lot of times we as Christians, we tend to settle for just getting our meal, you know. We believe in Jesus, we're saved. We're full in the sense of we have eternal life. We've been given the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the seal guaranteeing the day of redemption. And we're okay with that. But there's something to this abundance that God wants to give us. There's something to the more that God wants to give. Not just the bare minimum of necessities, but the moreness of God's provision to us. And I guarantee if we would be open to receiving that abundance that God wants to give, things would happen in our lives that we can't explain. You see that in the story of the pilgrims too. You see Squanto was a means of provision. He planted in the ground with them, and they had the crops from the ground. But that fall, that season, there was an abundance. And so they took that abundance and they gave glory to God. And we as Christians can seek out that abundance. Think of it this way. Work with me on this, okay? We are promised, when we're saved, when you're saved, you're promised the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible talks about the crops of the Spirit, okay? We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the crops. Having the Holy Spirit in us, we will then have a certain crop through our souls that will come out. What's the first fruit of the Spirit that we know? The fruit of the Spirit is joy is one of them. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. So when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you're given the joy of the Lord. It's something you did not have before you were saved. And then God saves you and He gives you the joy of the Lord. And that's okay, you know, I can have joy in the Lord because I know I'm going to heaven someday. But the abundance that God wants to give is that He wants to fill our hearts with a deep, rich sense of joy that cannot be explained. The Bible talks about it this way in the Old Testament. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy. A deep and rich and true sense of the joy of God that is independent of circumstances, so that it's not this bubbly sense of a giddy happiness. It is a deep, abiding sense of God is with me, and it carries you through those storms and those seasons. An abundance of joy that He wants to give. What's another fruit of the Spirit? Kindness. When we're given the Holy Spirit, we are generally, Lord willing, we're a kinder person. You know, the Spirit's inside of us and we treat people more kindly. I experienced that at least, although it took... I'm still am working on that. But the kindness of the Holy Spirit is inside of us. But God wants to give an abundance of kindness. He doesn't want to just settle for the bare minimum. He wants to fill you with a sense of overaboundingness of the fruit of kindness of God. That's another fruit of the Spirit. Peace. The Bible says that we can have a peace that surpasses understanding. So we can have a peace of God, you know, the Bible says we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have a home in heaven. We're saved. That's good. But the Bible talks about a peace that surpasses understanding. It's something that we can't even comprehend, and so I can't really articulate it for you. It's a peace that surpasses our ability to understand it, so it's beyond my ability to speak on it. That's the abundance that God has for us. He doesn't want to just settle for bare minimum. God is not a bare minimum God for His children. He is an abundant provider for His children, beyond our even ability to know it. Blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. But, listen now, this is important. That abundance is not something that just automatically comes. You see, when you believe in Jesus, automatically you're given the Holy Spirit. Automatically you're given the fruit of the Spirit. Automatically you're given the promise of eternal life. But the abundance, the aboundingness of God's life in you does not come automatically. It is something that we ask God for and that we yield to Him for and that He gives us through our seeking and our calling and our asking Him. And I believe that's what James is getting at when he says, you do not have because you do not ask. And so we as Christians have the privilege and task of taking time to come before God, our Father, and asking Him for the greater, the more, the abundant. And that's what I struggle with because I'm often in this state of, okay, I have what I need in Christ, but I can have more. I can have beyond that. Lord, help me to be that person who seeks You out in that time, in that season when I need it. Because when the season of scarcity comes, You'll have the bank filled that You can draw from to help you through that. Just as Joseph in the Old Testament, he was given the prophecy that there would be a famine, and so they had the grain put aside during that season. Well, we as Christians in this life, we can have that abundance and it can build up and build up, so when that season comes, we can draw from it. We can draw that strength to carry us through. But we have to seek Him. We have to come before Him in humility, laying aside our self-sufficiency, laying aside our sinful pleasure-seekingness. We have to come before Him, openness, open His Word, speak to me, Lord, taking time, being intentional with our Creator who wants to plant that seed in us and grow an abundance through us. Don't settle just for the meal. Maybe we as Christians can go up to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, thank You for feeding me. I had the fish, I had the bread, but I hear You have a little bit more. And I just want to have that taste on my tongue just for a little bit more. That is the abundance of His provision. We will have the seasons of scarcity. We will have a means of provision in Christ, but let us seek the abundance. That's the most important thing. And I want to leave you with this one thought. Whatever you have in the Lord Jesus, whatever you have, if you've trusted in Him and He is your Lord and Savior, He is your Savior, you're His child, whatever you have in Him, whatever it is that He has given you, the blessings He has in your life, the power He has in your life, it is His intention to give you a little bit more. Think about that for a second. Whatever you have, wherever you are at, God wants to give you more. He wants to give you more. Maybe you do have joy. He wants to give you more. Maybe your joy is struggling. He wants to give you more. Maybe you've experienced a season of victory in your life. He wants to give you more. Maybe you're struggling right now with things. He wants to give you more. God always abundantly wants to give you more. And that's why the Scriptures tell us, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's our God. That is our God. So as we gather together and we remember that meal that the pilgrims had together, giving glory to God for the abundance, remember the abundance that our Father God wants for us. Remember the little bit more that He's willing to give if we ask Him for it. Remember the 12 baskets that are available. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you so much. This life that we have with you is a very real life. It is not a fairy tale. It is not a culture. This is the life of God in us, the hope of glory. I pray, Father, that you would bring abundant life to us. Wherever we are at here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would bring us more. Whatever state we're in, give us that little bit more that we need. Maybe somebody here hasn't received first that provision of salvation. Maybe their soul is scarce. They're struggling inside with an emptiness that they can't explain, a guilt that they understand is before you, having sinned against you. Lord, would you show them your provision of Christ, who died on the cross for their sins? Show them that. And all they need to do is receive it like they receive bread. Believe on you. And for all of us here, give to us what we need to help us continue to serve you in this world. Expand your kingdom. And bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.